The Sydney Writers Festival is kicking off this coming Monday, featuring authors of every stripe from all around the world. There are books to inspire, books to move you, and books with a message all on display. But today, we're joined by Christine Milne, former leader of the Australian Greens and author of An Activist's Life, a memoir charting her career from being a high school English teacher to becoming the first female leader of the Greens in Tasmania. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
I'm really pleased to be here.
And Christina, I mean, your book's titled An Activist's Life. Is there sort of a moment where you say you woke up and said, huh, I'm an activist now? Or is it something that only like appeared in retrospect?
It's really only appeared in retrospect, I have to say. I guess it comes from my childhood where I was sent to a boarding school, a Catholic boarding school, when I was 10 years old. And what was really inculcated in us all by the nuns who taught there was that we were privileged to have an education, and so we had an obligation to help society in whatever way we could with that education. And at the time, I didn't really realise where that would take me. But a few years later, when I was arrested protesting against the Franklin Dam and on my way to Risdon Women's Prison, I smiled to myself and thought, I'm not quite sure that that's what the nuns had in mind when they taught us to stand up for what we believed in. But I think that was really the beginning of it, that sense of justice, of trying to stand up and change things for the better. And so really that has characterized everything I've done my whole life.
Now, Christine, in your book, you tell your story using 18 objects with symbolic meaning in your life. Can you walk us through one of these?
Yeah, sure. So one of the things that I've always found really difficult is talking about myself. I can talk about issues, so the day is long, but when it comes to talking about myself, I really don't like that very much. And so when I thought about writing the story, I remembered that when people used to come into my office in Parliament, they'd look around at the various little objects and artworks and things that I had and ask, you know, why I had them or where'd I get them from. And I was really happy to tell them the story. And I always noticed how interested they were that I would have kept those things and what they meant. And so I decided the best way to talk about my life was through objects. So some of them, for example, I talk about my upbringing on the dairy farm at Wesley Vale in northwest Tasmania. And one thing I've kept from those days is the wooden butter pats that my mother had, because they really, every time I look at them in my kitchen drawer, they just remind me of that time when I used to come home from school at primary school, and my mother would pick me up and sit me on top of the butter churn to keep the lid on, and then she'd churn the butter. And then when it was ready, come out and she would pat it into shapes using these wooden pats. So I've kept those as a way of connecting, if you like, to my mother and those early years. Mm. Other things I've kept, for example, I was sent at one particularly difficult stage when the Tasmanian government was basically intent with the opposition of getting rid of the Greens and change the electoral system in Tasmania, and it was all very difficult. I received in the mail two tiny little bottles of water that had been collected by some scientists from underneath the ice shelf in Antarctica.
Wow.
And they sent me a note saying, just remember that what you're doing in Tasmania is being felt, you know, half a world away. And it was really about valuing the work we were doing on the climate. So I've always kept those just to remind myself that there's a bigger world and bigger things to fight for than just getting too enmeshed in the sort of local politics.
One other thing I kept...
When I was first elected, my children were very small, were 2 and 4, and I have a copy of the Labor-Green Accord, which was a printed document, the agreement the Greens had with the Labor Party. And there are all these little childhood scribbles and drawings on one of them, one of the copies of the Accord. And I've kept that really just to remind me of this is what it's actually like for women when they go to work and they've got their small children. Inevitably, there's that moment when you're trying to talk to someone or do something and the children want something and you grab a piece of paper and say, draw me something or write me something.
So,
Christine, you keep that.
You mentioned, you know, making your mark upon things. Australia today's, you know, mired in continuing ethical environmental struggles like the Adani coal mine and a refugee policy. How much of an impact or your mark upon Australia have you seen? Have you been able to kind of see the fruits of your activism, or is it hard?
Oh, it's hard, and you know, you do it because it's the right thing to do, and ultimately you'll succeed. It mightn't just be in the time frame you want, which is, of course, how I feel about climate. But yes, if you go back, we did stop the Franklin Dam. We campaigned for over 25 years for the inclusion of the Tasmanian Glass Wilderness Forest in the Tasmanian Wilderness World Heritage Area, and that finally happened in 2013. Because the Greens held the balance of power, we doubled the size of the Tasmanian Wilderness World Heritage Area. When I was in balance of power in Tasmania, I made it a condition of supporting the Rundle government's budget that we get gay law reform in 1997, which took Tasmania from the worst laws in the country to the best. In federal parliament, of course, I pushed very hard for climate action and made it a condition of supporting the Gillard government that we secured the clean energy package, which of course included a setting up the Australian Renewable Energy Agency, the Clean Energy Finance Corporation, and of course a carbon price. We established the Parliamentary Budget Office. I initiated the committee which investigated tax avoidance by multinational companies and others in Australia. So yes, there've been lots of wins, but you know, we are still struggling to stop Adani, and we will win on that. We're still struggling to stop fracking and coal seam gas, and we will ultimately win on that, and we will get to renewable energy.
It seems pretty clear that idealism is something, you know, often derided in politicians, but which people seem to value quite a lot anyway. How important are these higher ideals to the Green Party and yourself?
Oh, they're critical. They're critical, and I say that I have written about what it's like to be a woman in politics and what should motivate people to go into politics. And I say, look, just don't do it if it's just a career path for you. Only do it if there is something about the world that you really want to change, because then all of the work, all of the effort that goes into it will be worth it, because it's for something that you passionately believe in. There is nothing really more soul-destroying than watching people coming into politics just doing it because it's a well-paid career and they don't really care about what the outcomes are. That's just terrible for the country.
And finally, Christine, as an activist, it can be very hard to maintain hope and faith that your efforts are actually doing anything at all. What would be your advice to activists who may be feeling a bit disillusioned?
My main advice is never, ever give up, you know. If you are committed to making a change in society or the world, the very fact that you are there working with other people towards that change is actually what will make you happy, even though it's frustrating at times. Leading a purposeful life, is a meaningful life, is actually the key to being happy. Not lots of money, not lots of kudos, but actually being purposeful and feeling like living is making the difference. That's what is so important.
Well, thank you very much, Christine. It's very interesting. And best of luck for your talk next Thursday.
Thank you very much. And hope I can see some of your listeners if they come along to the Sydney Writers Festival. It'll be terrific.
Absolutely.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.